Graham, who's having his toenails cut by the chiropodist, apparently. Can't reach him anymore. Anyway, so I've got two guests with me around the table, so this is a footy show. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Introduce myself.
Yeah, introduce yourself, please.
Yes, thank you, viewers. This is the Vulture here, coming to you live from the throbbing heart of Great Ipswich. I understand Graham is actually at the proms tonight.
He's looking old. His toenails cut.
I know some proms is getting all Daily Mail.
He'll be back next week.
Please, other voice I'm hearing in the background there.
Hello, Tom Taylor. It's lovely to be back in the ICR studios, once again whinging about all things ITFC. Love it.
Okay, so what are you going to whinge about in particular? I know you've been so well.
Well, actually, in an unusual break from the norm, I'm actually going to stick up for my team tonight. I think we've had a very difficult start. Two away games at Reading and QPR. Excellent home win against Millwall. Disappointing result against Leeds, and then a hard end point at Birmingham when, well, granted it should have been 3 points, but points away from
home. I was reading the old blogs a bit earlier, and it was supposed to be quite a lucky goal, wasn't it?
Yeah, teams nowadays only tend to score against us from distance and via deflection, so Birmingham Boy against was a continuation of that theme, so I don't know.
So, excuses, Tom?
Oh, it's always excuses, but, you know, that's kind of...
Early in the season for all these bloody excuses. Anyway, what's going on with that? Someone touching the mic. So what is going on with the transfer? Has the window's closed this week, is it?
Yeah, transfer window has closed, and it closed with no action at Portman Road.
No, entirely true. Josh Carson has had his contract cancelled by mutual consent.
Yes, Josh Carson's been let go.
Let go, is that kind of nice and sack?
Yes.
Or we don't?
Basically.
So what did he do? Drop to the management?
Did just didn't play very good football, quite simply.
He's shown bright promise as a youngster, but he never developed. And he never took it to, as well, the tabloids tell you, the next level. I don't know what it was, because he had the talent. There must be something to do with his application or something like that. But hopefully he can make a career elsewhere and prove us all wrong. But I really don't know. You'd have to ask Mick McCarthy. I don't think either of us are really.
What happens to these footballers then when they've been given the elbow? They're not outstanding, but they're not too bad. They
drop down a league generally.
Kind of soccer Saturday talk drill.
Always Sky TV.
It's just like something. Run a pub.
Back in the old days. Play guards, get fat.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
There's one here, Adam, who's managed to fulfil all three of those obligations. I love you, Phil.
But it's a shame that Josh has left, because I can remember that game against Palace, wasn't it? He scored twice.
That's fairly early on.
I thought he was going to go places, but,
He's still nostalgic about him, though.
Well, yeah, now he's gone, it's obvious.
Yeah, of course, nostalgia's not what it used to be, is it?
That's right. But I don't know about you, Tom, I was listening to the game on the radio on Saturday, and I still think, we're here on Wednesday, I still think we lost it. And yet we got a point out of it.
It's interesting, isn't it? It's kind of like a mark of how well we did in the second half of last season, that expectations for the typical Town fan as high as they are. Normally a point away to a Birmingham side, even one with his little money and struggling as they are, would not be sniffed at.
It's never an easy place to go.
No, it's definitely not. I remember the League Cup final 12 years ago where they threw most of the spare change in the West Midlands at us. It was a wonderful night. As you rightly say, Vulture is still a very difficult place to go. I'm, all things considered, quite happy with the points. I think what a lot of people are doing is looking at that point in the context of the season thus far and saying, well...
So you wasn't being ironic, you are actually reasonably pleased.
No, it's difficult. My ironic voice sounds the same as my normal voice. It's confusing. No, I wasn't being ironic. I think it is a good point. Perhaps after losing, as I say, home to Leeds, where we really should have had a point in all three after the first half.
It's a case where they played quite difficult teams the first four or five games. Maybe it's better to get them difficult teams over.
I think that's part of it. I mean, one looks at QPR and they've got a midfield there that, in the right circumstances could go for a substantial part of money. I mean, Joey Barton, considered nitwit though he undeniably is also worth a great deal of money. If they've got Carl Henry there. last year. You know, they replaced the quality of Charlie Austin, Andy Johnson, the delightful and ever appreciated Ipswich Rob Green. The QPR side, who much to my chagrin, are going to be right up there this season. I'd love to see how you fail, but it just ain't going to happen. So.
And yet we were minutes away, well,
a minute
away from getting a point there. And that decision, Reading's another case in point.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we took the lead there. If my maths is correct, isn't it 8 points we've thrown away from winning positions already this season?
Yeah, I'll go with that. Yeah, that sounds about right.
And we've only just ticked into September. It's a bit of a worry, but I have faith Mick will turn it around.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything to turn around, to be honest with you. I don't think you can take any real stock of a team starts in the league until you've played at least 10 games. You know, we've played 6 games and there's various nitwits on the internet saying, oh, you know, well, yeah, what's he doing? The football's atrocious. You know, we haven't got any strikers, and they.
As it did end up pretty good last, like, well, you know, last,
yeah,
I know, 12 games or whatever were pretty good last season, weren't they?
We were, but
he didn't, I mean, from where we were when he took over, which was helplessly and terribly maroon.
You would have come second or third or something.
I thought
sixth.
Yeah.
We're going to know where playoffs are.
Exactly, you know, but Maroon Della Contiki style, somewhere in the, you know, midst of the relegation ocean at the bottom of the league, you know, to come from that position back to the relative safety of 15th, you know, Mick deserves a great deal of credit.
Yeah, great credit.
And they were all quite close, when there was like 6 points in between, you know.
The whole division was ridiculously close last season.
It really was. I think there was one stage, I think there was 6 points between 9th and about 20th.
Something like that.
And I think with that in mind, people, you know, people are being very, or certain people are being very hasty to point the finger and they can say, you know, what's going on with football's bad, we haven't got any strikes, blah, 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 and that. Well, I don't buy them. Give the guys some time.
You're sounding quite optimistic from what I've seen.
Yeah, no, it's unusual, isn't it?
Is it a sunshine gift?
Honestly, I don't think you can really take any proper stock of the season until we've played 10 games. You know, what we've seen.
It's quite easy to knock you know, knock people as well as on the beginning of the season.
I've actually got an email here. Graham's asked me to root this email out from Slower Ball. And it actually fits in quite nicely with what we were just saying. He says, just got back from 2 weeks in Lot-Aiguillon in France, and no, I didn't bump into Ulrich Le Pen. Had I done so, no doubt he'd have required a stretcher. I digress. He also makes us feel very guilty that we've not been on holiday and very jealous. He says, just to say, I'm not too concerned about our current league standing, as I think there are always some false positions at this time of the season. Although, admittedly, I prefer it if we were higher in the division. But once our new players and formation settles down, our best is yet to come. For example, Blackpool are top, but have been less than convincing and have, in fact, played much worse than we have over the past few games, but have had much more in the way of luck. Luck being a far more important factor in life than any of us would care to admit. Au revoir, Mr. Slowball. Merci beaucoup for that. Yeah, I think that kind of chimes in with what we're thinking, really, doesn't it?
Well, to an extent, I mean, I think the luck thing's a bit of a red herring, to be honest with you.
They do say you make your own luck, though.
Well, they do. I don't know how they've got that right. But I mean, it's certainly, I don't know, I think, you look at the games we've lost, yes, we probably should have a point. QPR, as discussed, we should have a point. Leeds, I like to talk about Leeds, and Birmingham could have been three. It's, but at the same time,
bounce of the ball, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, those deflections could have gone over the bar, they could have gone wide, you know, but as it was, Leeds benefited from a couple, and
yes,
at the weekend, Birmingham benefited from one, you know.
Yeah, Birmingham as well, yeah, quite right.
Yeah, well, the attendance figures, is it? You know, noticeably around town, it's a bit dull at the moment, and the traffic, you know, was it?
I don't know what you guys think, but I think, I'm glad you touched on this, as a bit of a bugbear of mine. Mm-hmm. I think we're overpriced.
For the casual supporter.
I mean, I'm saying to get hold of this, right?
Yeah, likewise.
We're both saying to get hold of this.
Well, how much would it cost me as a working man, I don't know, on an average wage?
£32.5
I was going to say, take my missus and the two kids. What am I talking about? £100 for a day?
£100.
Yeah. For a couple of hours of entertainment.
Yeah.
Well, entertainment.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This is it. The product we're offering is mid-table championship.
Yeah,
it's not been the case, though, for the last 10 years. Really.
Yeah, it is indeed. I mean, it is overpriced. There's no choice about it. I mean, being fortunate to be a season nick holder, I mean, I think it works out for me about £17 a game or thereabouts, which is okay. But I mean, to turn up and pay £30, £40 is something nonsense, it must be said. And
if you've got teenagers, you've always got to buy the kit as well. And they change two or three times a year.
Cigarettes will do it. Probably cheaper, to be honest with you, Steve.
Cigarettes will do it.
Yeah, right.
So cigarettes and alcohol. But we're not we're talking about a song, we're not having choice.
The point being, you know, I mean, £32.50 for what we're offering up at the moment. And we, you know, I've got young nephews, and you're trying to get them interested in your local club. And you want to take them down and watch the local team and kind of get them enthusiastic. But at that price, you're just not going to get a chance to do it. You're not going to get like Gary was saying, you're not going to get too much change out of 100 quid if you're taking a family of four.
Plus, they probably want to go for a meal afterwards, and you know, or even a burger, you know, burgers and
cups. Well, yeah, you've got the screen put as well. That's why the ground. I mean, delicious though they are, they come in about £3.50, £4.
Yeah.
And there's at least 6% pork in oil, so you know it's good. But yeah, it is far too dear. So it hasn't, you know, to put it in inverted commas, the match day experience nowadays is overpricing.
It's like a working class game, isn't it? Really?
Used to be.
Well, certainly not now.
No,
it isn't. What was I going to say? I was going to make a really good point. And
I was getting all political there, weren't I? So logical.
The point I was going to make is contrast that to the forthcoming under-21 game in Portman Road, where they're offering, I think, a family of four for £20.
Which is quite nice.
For that, you get to see international football.
Plus, I believe the it's probably going to be packed as well. So.
You'd have thought so. Yeah, I'm certainly intending to go.
Well, Colin Wickham should be back as well. Exactly. And he's I'll say he didn't exactly. Well, I saw him against Palace on Sunday, and he looked appalling. Fingers crossed he'd come back here and
didn't worth 8 million.
No, he did not. No, certainly not.
I think we got.
That's relatively cheap in the transfer market at the moment.
It is at the moment, isn't it? It is at the moment. But I'm just glad to have got that off my chest. I think they are so overpriced.
Okay, we'll move in swiftly on. What about the next three games? What's coming up and what's the predictions?
Bower, Yeovil, and I forget the third of it. Bower and Yeovil, are they both at home?
The two next home games are Bower and Yeovil. And hang on, if you're not kicked,
we're talking about Middlesbrough.
Yes, indeed, yes. Sorry to the uneducated observer. One would hope for 4 points of those. So I think ideally six, of course, but 4 points of those two games.
Middlesbrough, Yeovil, and then if we're going away on the Sunday, the 22nd, which is not that difficult.
Yeah, it's a tough away game.
We're going away on the 22nd. Yeah. Hopefully they'll be knacking out after a European exertion, because that's why the game's on the
Sunday. Yeah, quite right.
Middlesbrough, blow hot and cold, don't they? They always have done it.
Yeah, Pogba's not really set the world like that. I think Tony Mowbray is not really putting up any trees there, in fairness. Opinion, from what I know, seems to be a bit divided. On the one hand, he's a part of the legend and he's cut a clear slack for that. But on the other hand, you know, we're seeing the same charges levied at Mogga up there as we are at McCarthy down there. You know, the football's not especially inspiring. Players being supposedly paid out of position, not enough signings haven't been made, or, you know, qualms I think that would probably be raised by most of the average football fans in the country, if truth be told. Be that as it may, however, I think when Butler come down here, we would hope, if we're serious about, you know, doing anything this season, he's got to be a win.
I'd say so.
And Yeovil, likewise, again, promoted side, of course, they've got the Gary Johnson effect. Gary Johnson being the manager there, who's worked wonders with them on and off over the past 10 years. That notwithstanding, again, you would hope. Do we get something out of Yeovil too?
I think 6 points, we've got to be looking at 6 points out of those two games, definitely. Anything less will be
good. Well, Middlesbrough is an ex-Premier side, aren't they?
They are kind of curious. One week they can be brilliant, another week they can just be terrible. They have a habit of fading out in seasons, don't they? Starting well and then fading out. So maybe not the best time to play them, but I still think we should have enough to beat them, certainly. And for Yeovil, a bit of a line about Yeovil. I think we've all got a little bit of affection for them, from where they've come from and stuff. And when I was a young boy, I actually signed up for some football courses run by Gary Johnson. And he's one of the nicest blokes I ever met. He's quite a funny guy. And at that time, he was playing for Northampton. And he's just I've always got a lot of time for Gary Johnson.
Which is the manager of
the manager of Yeovil, He's the Yeovil manager. I've got a lot of time for him. I don't know if he'd recognise me if I went up to him in the street, but...
I can't top that. I met him at Whitbread once. That's about it. So.
Oh, well. Yeah.
Well, I've never met anybody. I just interview thousands of people. I don't know. They just come through the door and then they leave again.
Family Whitbread player from.
Something I would like to see against Dan Bower, who's a subject of fitness for BC, Bob Taylor get a run. He's a he's a player who hasn't really done anything with us at all yet, but obviously carries a fairly fearsome reputation from his exploits with Peter. But
definitely, and he's been lively.
Well, exactly, I mean, again, another if you like, sort of like qualm raised with the team at the moment is that we're just not getting the ball out wide enough and the delivery isn't good enough. And, you know, if one's looking to maybe play ball Taylor out wide, which is basically he can do, then, you know, be very interesting to see.
Question mark about midfield creativity as well that a lot of people are bringing up. I don't know what you think about that, but I kind of agree to an extent in that, you know, you've got your Tabs and your Hyams, who are sort of more defensively minded and more ball winners than kind of your Glenn Hoddle type who'll spray pass around, you know.
Boy, I mean, it's we've seen the Scoots-Hyam partnership this year, and Scoots, I have to say, has impressed me. It's only days, but he's impressed me. Reminds me a little bit of a young, better-looking Jim McGilvin, actually, if you can tell. But again, we saw this last season with Heinen and Dorn in the middle. You know, not a lot was given away in the midfield, but at the same time, there wasn't a great deal of creativity. It's still early days, of course, as I've already said, but I mean, I think there's a suspicion that we might be perhaps drifting into the same territory again with the Scoots-Hyam partnership. Tunnicliffe came on last week. Looked quite sharp when he played.
Looked good.
And again, we've got Wordsworth in the wings as well, who was supposed to be pulling all the strings in Colby.
And Anderson as well, who hasn't looked bad.
There's options there.
Is there anyone coming up from the academy that people could keep an eye on?
We've got Jack Marriott, and we've got Amir Burkane. I'm trying to think, October. Mark Timlin. Byron Lawrence, of course.
We just signed a keeper as well, Michael Crowe, haven't we?
Yeah, with Dean, who's the Kiwi guy, Jack Doherty from Waterford United, wasn't it?
Jack Doherty.
Sold some of our transfers into some of his professionals, yes.
And is it Jordan Adekunle or something?
Very good, isn't it?
Just signed him as well.
I'm quite impressed you can say that.
There's some youngsters about there. Again, to turn the conversation full circle, one hopes they don't sort of like go the way of Josh Carson. Mick McCarthy has kind of given indications, by the virtue of the fact he's put five of these players in the first team squad, they would potentially be prepared to play them. The issue is, of course, whether or not he's prepared to do that if we're going to be
in a scrap.
Well, when they also have indicated if he does play them and then get seen on the TV and stuff, and then they show a bit of potential, then someone's going to snap them up and take them away.
If we see the Conor Wickham situation, Wickham, who was blinded for us, came through the banks. And then we sold him to Santa Fe, $8 million, and to be honest right now,
he's struggled
to get about 5 or 6% of that back. The guy's just vanished. So I think, the way we've done that with financial fair play is, clubs are going to be reliant upon their internal resources to try and keep the funds ticking over. And of course, this big source that is going to be from the academy. So if we've got players in the academy coming through into the first team squad, that can only be a good thing as far as I'm concerned.
It's a business as well, isn't it? Which
is why you get charged £13.50.
Supply and demand.
It is a business, and nowadays it is run as a business. The thing. Marcus Evans has bought a business, he hasn't really bought a football club.
He'd argue that, the better the team does, the better, more money he can make.
2008, we've done Sweet Fanny Adams ever since, haven't we?
Obviously, this is a bit secretive, and we don't know. We haven't been out to talk to him or anything, but
he's quite a secretive character.
He's very secretive, and we know he's said to be a town supporter. I mean, apparently he's from Bury St Edmunds, and he's a town supporter. You wonder. I mean, obviously, there's not a bonus bit of cash, but you think it'd put a few quid.
Does he turn up at the matches and walk around and stuff? People would recognise him, would they?
Yeah, he's either crazy or blue. No, I'm quite sure which one.
There are pictures of him. Being what he looks like now. But he doesn't do any. He keeps a very, very low profile.
Doesn't do the publicity or the radios, TVs, whatever.
No, nothing like that. If he was
a smart person, I suppose, in some respects. You've got to have a life, I suppose.
If he was sat next to me in the ground, I'd probably look at him and think, "Is that Marcus Evans?" But I wouldn't be 100% sure. Yeah, so at least least we know roughly what he looks
like. The secret man behind it.
I have a good idea. I want to be sitting next to him and say, yeah, tell you what, I wish that Marcus Evans.
I'll be careful because he's got enough money to close this down. No doubt.
Yeah.
All right, moving swiftly on. Predictions and first scores. You said like it's a bit early now to predict or to criticise.
Well, Christmas Day itself, I'm going to the 13th.
The 13th, well, yes.
I think our natural habitat appears to be 15th or 16th, so I want to say 15th.
Yeah.
That's kind of well
known. I'm going to write this down because I've got a feeling Graham's going to probably not be here and I can come and remind you.
I mean, the thing is with that risk of it, you know, I say overly negative. The last three seasons we've been in relegation trouble at one point or another during the season. As far as I'm concerned, progress for me would just be a season of mid-table mediocrity, not flirting with relegation, and just showing signs of, you know, putting a team together to challenge next year. It's simply purely
I don't know what to say about really, because there's nothing less than either positive or negative, is it? You know, it's just like...
It's pragmatic, isn't it?
So yeah.
I tend to agree a successful season will be a season of progression, and a season where our supporters are looking more towards the top of the table than looking over our shoulders towards the relegation.
We've got a cup to worry about, our distractor as well.
There's the FA Cup, you never know, we could go on a run in there.
Yeah, it's Sheffield United away, we'll lose, and that's it. It's not a problem.
But I went to the Stevenage game, it did for us in the Capital One, and less said about that, the better.
Yeah.
I ticked another ground off, that's all I can say about that one. We showed a promise, but no cutting edge.
Yeah,
unfortunately, story of the season, I suppose.
So yeah, as I say, just overall mid-table mediocrity will do me, which is kind of like the par for the course for the town nowadays. But as long as it's mid-table mediocrity with no relegation flowing, I'd actually genuinely be pretty pleased with that.
Well, I'm always impressed that whenever I get blood occasionally down at Portman Road, just how beautiful the actual Portman Road, the stadium is. It's a glass stadium.
It's a monument to our Premiership vanity, I'm afraid.
Yeah, some years ago.
Two fantastic stands and for Needy George to show for our team in the Premiership. And for Needy's now somewhere in Lagos having the time of his life as a dentist, last I heard. So,
everyone says when they come here, it's a standard joke, and when people sign, it's the facilities are world class, the training facilities are we haven't got a team to match it at the moment. But a lot to be proud about the football team, the football at the moment.
I've been here 20 years and I've always heard about the good old days.
Well, exactly. I mean, I saw a story on those days this week about how Norwich City put themselves down as UEFA Cup participants. This is one of their honours, which made me laugh a great deal.
When you won it,
the trouble of strife and the fact that that lot of them are having the time of their lives right now, the fact remains we won that cup.
We
participated.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, we won it. So, to the participants.
But isn't that a bit like England won the World Cup in 1966? What have you done for me lately, darling?
Exactly right.
So, we want more trophies in Norwich, it's great. Someone can come and argue that if they like, they're living in Clell Cuckoo Land.
I think England have won as many trophies in Norwich as well, which is quite good.
What's up with your predictions for Norwich, though? Are they going to come down this year?
I'd like to think so, but I think they're going to survive. I'd love to
talk about the survival. to say that they're doing all right, and that's all I want to say.
Well, okay.
I've actually got a new video, bought a new video the other day, Norwich City, the Glory Seconds.
Glory Seconds.
And it's also at Norwich City, 50 Greatest Corners, which you might be interested in, you know. But,
best participants in the whole league. Wonderful participants.
Was it third in the Premiership, or was there other
corner? Yeah.
You know, that's like saying...
Yeah, I was going to say, I wasn't too young or too old to remember when when was it, about 12, 13 years ago now, when they got into...
92
is that long ago, yeah.
Actually, 1993, because it was the 1993 Cup Final. If Sheffield Wednesday had won it, Norwich wouldn't have got into Europe. The most important game in their lives, and they weren't even playing in it. That is Norwich City summed up, ladies and gentlemen. Our down-market, low-brow cousins from up the A146.
So now I know why you called the Welcher then, but I don't have to explain it anymore.
The Premiership, they'd love to be us. You'd love to be us, Norwich, wouldn't you? Hey, with our trophies and our glorious history.
Yeah,
right, sorry, right. Nurse the screens.
That's all right, man.
You've got 2 minutes to fill.
So
I've
said enough,
I'm going to talk about it. Yeah, alright, you've absolutely said enough. Yeah. No, I don't know, so yeah, that's them. Meanwhile, regarding us, you know, I think it's, there's cautious optimism there, you know.
Cautious optimism.
Which I think after, you know, I'd say the last two or three seasons.
Well, I think, man, you've explained it to me that these are quite difficult teams and it's quite lucky. Definitely. You know, you can't be too down on them.
We're sort of like a Lloyd Keane sort of like playing the fields with salt, and then Paul Jewell covering the entire field with patio slabs, and you know, McCarthy's gradually sort of like trying to get the green sheets and recovery up through there. And that's a field.
But he is a class man anyway, isn't he? I mean, like, I've always thought so.
He's a good manager.
I've got a lot of time for him. I think he's doing a good job.
Stood up to Roy Keane all those years ago.
I can remember that. It's a World Cup where he got sent home, what he called it, a certain word,
He let Joe Emmanuel Thomas go and make up for that one, a bit cross, but apart from that, he's doing a good job.
Okay, so is that a lot, apart from wishing Graham good luck with his toes, and no doubt he'll be back next week.
Yeah, wave those small union flags, Graham, you'll have the time of your life, I'm sure.
Yeah, he is actually down a prom, so...
It's Tchaikovsky or something tonight.
Is it?
Yeah, so...
All right. Good luck with Tchaikovsky then. Okay, this has been 105.7 Ipswich Community Radio. Do you two want to say goodbye then?
Cheerio!